This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to Checkpoint Intimates. We are a weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Lisa and I'm joined today by Charlie. Hey Charlie, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So Today you and I are going to talk about queer identity in gaming and the importance of visibility.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So we were both talking about Life is Strange and how it both had a really big impact on us. So what was it about Life is Strange that spoke to you?
Oh, straight away, Chloe and Max, I think, definitely. Mm. They're the best. I think it really spoke to me. I played the game back, it came out maybe like 5 years ago now, back when I was in high school. I wasn't identifying as a woman at the time, but I definitely saw a lot of Max and Chloe's relationship in, I guess, very high school crushes I had with my best friend at the time. Yeah. Felt very real, very important. It was something that just made me feel very seen, and that's what helped me fall in love with the game. How about you?
Well, I actually hadn't played video games for a very long time before getting my hand on Life is Strange. Like, I didn't even know what Steam was. Like, I was like, okay, so to play a video game on my PC, I've got to download this thing called Steam. Like, that's how green I was. I downloaded it. And I don't know if you realize that you could have that romance between Chloe and Max straight away. Like, was that something that was...
No, not really. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess because I was kind of confident or like semi-aware of my identity at the time, I was just looking at them like, oh, they're gay, they're gay, they're gay. But in my head, I was thinking the game was never going to go there or anything. It was very quiet about it at the first. And then it took a nice surprise, I guess.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like, I did get that kind of like queer energy from Chloe, definitely.
Absolutely.
But I was like, no, they're not going to let me do that.
In
like,
a video game? No.
Exactly. Like, Chloe had this real great, like, punk rock kind of, you know, her against the world kind of attitude, which I really related to, especially, like, I was very much like that as a teenager. So I really related to her. I didn't think that would happen. And then because Warren was so forceful.
So pushed on us, yeah.
Yes, he really was. And that's what we were talking about. Like, do we think that it could go either way, I guess, how we look at something like that and how Don't Nod, the game developers, put that forth.
Yeah.
We could see it as, like, the struggle – that, you know, queer people have in finding their identity, or we could see it as them kind of, I don't know, like it being very subtle just in case.
Yeah, like, well, it felt very like, I love the game, but it feels at times very in a rock and a hard place. Like,
yeah,
they were doing something very daring with the whole, you know, a gay storyline in a game that was pretty... like, well-marketed and everything, but
yeah.
At the same time, I guess it was a big risk, so they didn't want to do it too much. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think they pulled it off. I think at the end, because of how long it took for the friendship and then eventually relationship to develop over the episodes, I think it helped kind of articulate and, I guess, the word portray characters admitting to their sexuality and, like, learning and discovering their sexuality, and that's what I loved most about it, really.
Yeah, same. It seemed to be like an organic process between Chloe and Max. And I think the kind of subtlety about it, for me, it kind of made it more special.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't like so in your face, like with Warren, who, you know, he was the heterosexual romance option.
Yeah.
yeah, he, you know, Chloe wasn't kind of pushing Max into anything, whereas I think I did get that vibe off Warren a bit.
Absolutely. What are some of your other favourite characters then?
I love, are we talking about other games now?
Yes.
Are we talking about, yes, awesome. Well, you and I both love Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
We sure do.
Oh, my God.
She's so beautiful.
Oh, my God, she's such a badass. Like, I finished it ages ago, but my wife is now playing it. And I just kind of stand around sometimes and just watch.
Fawn and everything, absolutely.
Yes, totally, totally. I was saying to you that she does have big top energy. So she's definitely like this badass who is, you know, in control and really strong both like mentally and physically. How did you play Cassandra? Because for, you know, listeners that haven't played the game, you can choose between Cassandra or Alexios, and you can sleep with anybody in the game, no matter anybody. Their gender.
Absolutely. Yep. I played her as a lesbian because, I mean, look at her.
Yes, exactly.
So just romancing anyone and every female character. It was very lovely. Some great fun side quests in there doing that. I will say I was a bit disappointed when that DLC came around. You know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, with Natakis, who I have not affectionately dubbed Droopy Eyes.
He doesn't have Droopy Eyes.
Oh, my God, it frustrated me because he was just kind of like she went out and did everything and he stayed home and did nothing.
Yeah.
And, like, do you think that relationship is believable? Like, how did you feel about that?
Well, not even just that. It definitely wasn't believable, but it just almost, like, took away autonomy from the players a bit. You know,
yes.
Like we said, we spent the whole game playing at Cassandra as this lesbian character and everything for a game that was trying to celebrate choice. And then this DLC came along and, you know, Cassandra, who was this great big mystios and warrior and everything, suddenly is, you know, having a baby and settling down with this man and everything. And it felt very, not great, odd, really. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel that kind of chemistry between them. Like, it seemed like their personalities were very different. Like, I actually felt like she had more of a connection to Natakis's father.
Yeah,
like, because he was a badass. Like, he was, like, I think he was, like, in his 70s and he was, you know, still kicking butt.
Absolutely.
But I actually read an article about this woman who was saying that she was really angry, and I felt that anger because, like we both said, we played the game as, you know, Cassandra's identity being a lesbian. Yeah. And by, you know, Ubisoft coming in and saying, no, you have to have a child, like, do you think they could have possibly had other alternatives to giving, you know, to bringing a kid into it?
It's tough. I just don't think the storyline was that great. I don't think she needed to carry on a bloodline. I think if they were trying to offer alternatives, that would cause so many issues with, I guess, production and how much time that would take and everything. But really, that was a storyline I wasn't that crazy about.
Yeah, and I think for me, it bugged me because it kind of brought in that whole kind of heteronormative family structure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it would have been really cool if, you know, what happens if you did have the choice to shack up with either a male or a female character or, you know, or any gender, and then you could, you know, decide to adopt, or maybe there was a kid that needed a home, you know, like, they could have done it so differently.
Absolutely.
That was, and Ubisoft actually came forth and apologized for it, but still.
Which I'm glad, but
I'm
still
glad that they did, yeah, but hopefully they make better choices in the future regarding queer characters.
One of the other ones, another game that I think did a lot better is a game we both really enjoyed and came out recently called Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yes.
Well, a few years ago now, but Dorian, I think, had an absolutely brilliant story. And I think that showed because it was written by, you know, gay writers and stuff and people that got the content and everything. And Dorian's story is just brilliant. What did you think about his story when you played it?
I loved it because what I loved about it is that, you know, he came from this quite rich, noble family, and he was still able to be himself even though his parents disowned him. Like, you know, he didn't say, okay, fine, I'll suppress my sexuality so I can stay within, you know, this family. He said, no, I'm me, and you just have to deal with it.
Absolutely. I had a very, like, heartbreaking scene there with his dad and everything, and, oh, that game's just so well-written and so real. I loved that.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing that I really love about it is that you can't sleep with just anyone.
Like, no, it's not like the player sexual kind of thing. It's like characters have set sexual orientations and stuff, which is, you know, real life. So, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I love that. Like, I think it really kind of brings, you know, reality to their sexuality. Like, and like you said, it is like real life. It's not just like, oh, I'm the hero, I can sleep with anybody I want, you know? Like, that's not the way the real world works. So,
no.
I also, what did you think about Sarah, the character of Sarah?
Oh, she's so cute. I admittedly, I didn't get to spend as much time with her as I would have liked to, but I love her character, and I want to go back and actually play through her story because she's really charming and cheeky, but really just adorable, and I love her. And she's a lesbian, whereas on the other hand, you've got Josephine, who's bisexual. So that's just another example of, I guess, BioWare flexing that, you know, gay people exist and they should exist in games more. And I'm glad it is like that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no real stereotypes in there either. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, they don't kind of adhere to these queer stereotypes. They're all very varied characters with very varied sexualities, and it was really great to be able to, you know, play your protagonist and go in there and sleep with who you could, not with who you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So on the flip side, we've got other character building games that do let you sleep with anyone. So Fallout 4. Have you played that one, Charlie?
I have. Good old Fallout 4. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed Fallout 4. I think it definitely helps with the cast of characters you can romance and stuff. The fact that you have to also, like, establish the relationships more than you do in other games. You have to, like, put in the work and actually, you know, develop a bond with the characters and the trust and everything to enter a relationship with them. And it's not like a huge, mechanic in the game, but it's something I still really enjoyed and was very happy it was there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that too. I think I played that after Life is Strange. So that kind of went, awesome, you know, video games, they can let me do queer stuff, so this is great.
Skyrim's another good one in there, how you can, like, adopt children and get married and have your own house and everything. It's very cute.
Oh, cool. That is on my – I actually bought it not that long ago, so I'm going to have to get into
it. You got to get to it.
Yeah, which is something, you know, that I can do during this time of COVID.
Yeah.
So how about The Outer Worlds?
Parvati, were you leaning towards here, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, she was my favorite because she was so – she showed your protagonist this vulnerability.
Yeah.
That was so charming and real.
Yeah, she's really insecure and everything and is looking to you as a kind of mentor and friend a lot, which isn't something you see a lot in games, even in, like, party games. Like, yeah, you're building relationships and, like, strengthening bonds and stuff, but it's never, like, you're pulling them aside with deep heart-to-heart conversations and asking for advice and stuff all that much. Whereas this game, you know, you can just choose to totally empathize with Parvati, who identifies as asexual and is also, well, I assume, a lesbian, because the person she has a crush on in the game is a woman, and she's asking for advice with you in, I guess, getting to know this woman, and it's really, really heartfelt and well done, yeah. I think it helps that it's also done by Ashley Birch, who did Chloe as well.
Oh, did she now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She's done lots of good characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I really love about Parvati is that her love interest is very similar to her.
Absolutely.
They're both her love interest is someone that she really admires, and then that does turn into a romance.
It's so funny. It's so cute. They write like poems for each other and everything. Yeah, and then like they're this really deep and heartfelt, but at the same time, they're like, I'm not sure she has a crush on me, when they clearly do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. It's so, so cute. The Outer Worlds, when did that came out last year, didn't it?
Yeah, last year. So it was back in like October. So that's definitely a good recent example.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, I really enjoyed.
And a future example.
A future example, yes. About,
yeah, is Tell Me Why.
Tell Me Why, yeah. From Don't Nod as well, who also did Life is Strange. This was announced, I want to say November last year, late last year. It's another game that's looking to, I guess, explore queer identity and stuff, and it's doing that in a trans male protagonist, which is something that's new. And I feel like even, not that trans women are represented well either, but trans men is something that's a lot more rarer in media, and something that's really exciting to me, and to a lot of friends, is really exciting for, that it's a game that's just exploring this really important trans story that it's really exciting, looking forward to. That's due out later this year, I believe. And that's a game I'm definitely excited for.
Yeah. I was actually doing some research about it before, and one of the directors of Don't Nod was saying that it's the episodes, they're going to make it every, like, weekly instead of monthly.
Oh, so interesting.
Gonna,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're actually going to bring them out closer together. And they said that they also teamed up with GLAAD making the game.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, so, because, you know, sometimes they're, I don't know how I feel about, you know, people who are queer writing queer storylines.
Absolutely. Like, I think you can definitely tell when they're not done well. There's like a couple of games that came to mind where like characters are just a bit iffy and everything, and the fact that hearing this is done in collaboration with GLAAD really gives me hope for the game.
Yeah, same. And I think, you know, with Life is Strange, that they did that so well. So I think I'm really hoping that they do a good job, and I think they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, it was really awesome having this chat with you about
queer
identity and visibility. My name is Lisa, and thanks so much for listening, everybody, and make sure you check all our socials for more gaming news, and tune in next week for more Intimates.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.